On the KSRO live line with us is Kimberly Whale. Is that the correct pronunciation, Kimberly?
It's Whaley. Thanks for asking.
Whaley. That's okay. That's correct. She is a professor of law at the University of Baltimore School of Law. And good morning to you.
Good morning.
You've written an article in the Hill about the Russian investigation as it regards the president of the United States. Question for you first, Kimberly. What do you think is the order of importance in terms of the players involved for Robert Mueller's team? Who are they going to talk to next?
Oh, gosh, it's hard to know because we don't know who they've spoken to date. We found out on Friday they're subpoenaed and obtained over 400,000 documents. They're probably knee-deep in information at this point. But
Yeah. Certainly
the pleas we've heard or the anticipated pleas with Mr. Flynn and then, of course, the indictment against Mr. Manafort and Mr. Gates, those are all critical witnesses and critical people for the Mueller team to continue to talk to determine whether there are bigger fish in the pond for them to go after at this point.
Yeah, and the latter two supposed to be in court today.
Yep.
So, you know, we can talk about it all we want, but whether the president can be indicted or not is certainly sort of nobody knows for sure if that can be happened.
If it goes up,
we can argue that, right? But the point is this. So because we can't be indicted, you're wondering what Mueller might do. Maybe he doesn't want to avoid, he wants to avoid a lengthy legal battle over constitutionality. On Trump's end, as we mentioned, he's got sons and family members wrapped up into this. So you sort of argue that the most likely outcome is some sort of plea deal between both sides.
Well, I would suggest that's the most probably prudent outcome. As you mentioned, as far as whether the president can be indicted, there are legal minds on both sides of that. Both Ken Starr and Leon Jaworski, the former two special counsels who investigated presidency in the United States, both concluded that they could be, a sitting president could be criminally indicted and prosecuted. But the Office of Legal Counsel has suggested otherwise. And my point is, it's kind of beside the point. It's, even if it is legal, it's unlikely because in this instance, we don't know what facts, if any, implicate the president and his children and son-in-law. But if they do, an impeachment's not going to cover them. And I would think that this president or any president with children are going to want to have a situation, a resolution that protects his entire family. In my view, the most likely outcome there would be to walk away from the presidency with some kind of agreement with Robert Mueller. Because the two other options, an indictment of the president and his children or an impeachment, don't necessarily protect them. We've seen this with Mike Flynn agreeing to a guilty plea. We don't know what the implications were for his own son, but that was certainly in the mix for Mr. Mueller.
And also, Kimberly, it seems like there's an overall feeling whenever the few times that this has come up with past presidents that nobody really wants to get that far in the process because it doesn't look good. Doesn't look good for the American people or for the rest of the world.
Well, not only does it look good, I think it would be a crisis for the American people, both an indictment and a prosecution or an impeachment. It takes the top executive off the dime in terms of what the focus should be from the Oval Office. And also, it's just a huge emotional, financial, resource-laden process that I think creates a lot of trauma both domestically and internationally. So the Mueller team, they're career prosecutors or professionals, I would presume they have that in mind, this notion of what not only is best from a legal standpoint, but what's best for the country and a quiet resolution. This is all assuming there's something. There might be nothing. And then the president just finishes out his term or, you know, runs for re-election. We'll see. But if there is something, they have to have in mind what's the quietest resolution for everyone in a peaceful transition of power if it comes to that. And as I suggest that something on the, you know, on the side, a private resolution would probably be in the best interest of the country and the whole world community.
You know, but the fun part about all of this is that we get to learn about the Constitution again and what we can and cannot do. And that, you know, you argue back in the Nixon days when there was the indictment going with Nixon, they actually invented a term, unindicted co-conspirator. That's what Nixon was in this whole thing.
But it seems like there's a lot of gray area. Isn't there a lot of gray area here?
Yes, there is a lot of gray area, and I think that's an excellent point to bring up, and I've been speaking out on a lot of these issues for that particular, that precise reason. I think there's, you know, constitutional illiteracy at this point is absolutely critical, that everyone have a some understanding of how the Constitution works. And there's a lot of black and white thinking and black and white punditry on this. And most legal questions are gray, including what happens under the Constitution. It's a very, very old document, and the answers aren't in the plain language. And so sure, a lot of this comes down to how courts are going to view it, and getting in these questions before the Supreme Court takes a long time and also a lot of resources. So strategy and political implications and all that come into play, because we're not dealing with black and white legal questions. We're not dealing with rules that have clear answers, for sure.
Well, one thing we know about this process, it's not short. It's going to go on for a while. And Kimberly, thanks so much for being here and shedding some light. We'll continue this conversation as we move forward.
Thanks for inviting me. It's been a pleasure.
All right. That is Kimberly Whaley, and she is from the University of Baltimore School of Law.